Welcome to Crypto Talk Radio, the podcast for everyday investors like you. Visit us on the web at cryptotalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Thank you for that, Bailey, and welcome everybody out there in Crypto Talk Radio, found at cryptotalkradio.net. Hello and welcome, or welcome back. It's been a trying set of couple days. I'm in pain. My first girlfriend, she had a saying, which was good pain. I never knew what that meant. But I am in pain that I'm finishing all the stuff in the home is what I'm doing. I have an electrician that's due. He's coming mid-July. I'm trying to get a freaking plumber to finish this galvanized swap out. I've got a quote that I have to look at. Then I have to get a couple other bids and then do a compare. I understand that the first guy, he was kind of overcharging it. He just contacted me back and he wants to get a official proposal, but he was kind of on the high side for it. And then there's another guy and he's not as responsive as I need him to be, but his price was in the realm. The guy that came out today, he gave a quote and I'm like, all right, well, I don't mind the money. And he was trying to sell me away from, if anybody out there listening is familiar with just the general plumbing, I like flexibility. I like to have control and flexibility, even if it may not make sense. Now, from the size of my home, I only have three rooms that are going to need plumbing effectively. But my concern is, you know, things happen. You get defective parts and whatnot. And I want to have where sections of it can be swapped out without having to turn off the water main. And him and I got into it because he was doing the generic, you know, there'll be angles and all these connectors and fittings. Yeah, but you still got to turn off the freaking main. Well, we'll have the valves at each endpoint. Yeah, but if it happens in the midline, you're still got to turn off the main. I don't want to turn off the main. Well, I know some of you are afraid of the main. I'm not afraid of the main. It's just stupid if I just have to swap one line off because it's PEX, right? One line. It's stupid to have to cut off the whole main, cut off water to the whole freaking home just because this one pipe had a defect or maybe there's something got caught in the line. You know, things happen, right? And so this is now the opportunity for modularity. And he was borderline arguing with me. And I think he got the sense that I'm cheap. I'm not cheap. You know, I'll spend the money if it makes sense to future-proof the damn thing. And he finally relented. He gave me a quote. It's not even that freaking high. With the added stuff, his still came in lower than the first guy. I felt like slapping this dude. So anyway, I'm trying to get him out here. I'm hanging up my studio stuff. I just got the monitor set up. The existing monitor that I had got damaged in transit, and I'm pissed about that. So I had to buy a new monitor. I have him hung up there, and then I'm doing the cladding, it's called. So the wall covers. I've finished the paint. I've got the acoustics up. I have to get one of the curtains up. Once that's done, I'm working on the flooring. The flooring is a really nice vinyl tile, and the ceiling fan's already up. And then I've got a contractor sometime out in September-ish for windows. The windows are not that big of a deal because you wouldn't see the windows. It's really more for my benefit and lighting. But the light put out by the ceiling fan is amazing anyway. Amaze sauce. So all of that's happening. And then I finally got just a washer dryer that fits in my place because I have a washer dryer in storage. They don't fit in the door that leads down to the basement. I'm pissed about that. So I had to buy a smaller unit, smaller washer, smaller dryer. I just ran those through. They did a decent job. Not as good as my beast stuff. But these two work on standard outlets. That was appealing to me. There's no gas line. That was appealing to me. So I'm tying it together. Now I'm like, okay, for this plumbing business, maybe I get rid of that central water heater and just go with, tankless, you know, because there's only two bathrooms in the kitchen. So this is my problem. And you're thinking to yourself, rich people problem. No. It's not that, you know. These are things I've budgeted for. These are things I stacked up for. These are things I saved for. These are things where I knew I was going to need to do it because I knew the home had a lot of potential that was not realized. And I'm getting close to realizing that potential. By the time I'm done, this guy's going to be beast better than the neighbors. Then I got to get my lawn care stuff and get the lawn up today. Anyway, let's talk cryptocurrency. I purposely have not watched too much of it. I did a couple of out of cycles, but let's go ahead and talk and see what we got going on here. Okie dokes, Coindesk.com. We're going to zoom out to the month chart. And I was looking at this a little bit earlier, starting with Bitcoin specifically, because I on my previous update, I did an out of cycle about Bitcoin crashing and burning, went down to the 60,000 mark. It actually breached beneath that ever slightly. I said I didn't think it was going to go too much further past 55, despite other people saying 45. It felt like that was extreme. I felt like if it was going to go lower, 55 would be the bottom. Turns out 59, just shy of 60. So 59.9 was that base, and then it started going back up again. So right now we're at 61.9. It went up to 62.3. The strength isn't there. The strength is not there that I would expect to have given off this rebound. I would expect it to be a little bit stronger. I would have expected this to have gone back up to about the 63-ish mark, and that did not happen. What does that mean? Well, it tells me at least that we may have a little bit more downward to go. Maybe. I don't know for sure. I looked at Ethereum because I was trying to contrast and compare, and Ethereum had a low of 33, a high of 34. It's currently at 34, not very much off from where it was before. That rhymes. And so I think, again, whatever's happening was the Bitcoin. And I know there was the whole, you know, breach of that business and all that that happened. And certainly that played a factor. And then this old Mount Gockenstein, whatever that is, that's allegedly on the deck, that's causing people to be a little nervous. I know this is stuff, again, specifically Bitcoin. It didn't feel like it's industry-wide. It felt like it's specifically Bitcoin. Then the Julian Assange getting freed, if you didn't know that. They cut a deal with him. Now, I want to just rant about that for a minute if I can. It's somewhat related to crypto because, yeah, WikiLeaks and Bitcoin were kind of hand-in-hand at a point. So this whole situation happens way back yonder. Bradley Manning, okay, who did a sex change and turned himself into Chelsea Manning, but Bradley Manning is what I'm going to call him. This is what his mom gave him. Bradley Manning got off of the slap. They didn't go after that dude at all. He was free shortly after that. Julian Assange, they chased this freaking dude, chased him into hiding. I was so disgusted seeing what Assange went through after all these years for nothing other than exposing corruption. Seeing them chase down, seeing them just go after him, and then seeing multiple presidents, including Donald Trump, just completely not pardon the guy and getting, because like, come on, this dude did not do anything that crazy bad compared to some of the other stuff that you got going on out there, and you're going to go after him for this stuff. I was disgusted. I was absolutely disgusted. So when he got freed, everybody's cheering, and you know, and it's a good news story, certainly for the crypto. It didn't cause significant pumps, but I thought it was good to tell the story at least. I was happy to see it. I was really frustrated just to see that, you know, ultimately, all these others, because of certain, what we know why it happened, Bradley Manning gets off with a slap and all these other ones get off with a slide. You know, it's shady business. It's shady business in the whole situation. Remember, by the way, speaking of shady business, the rigged debate is going to be happening this week between former President Donald Trump and current President Joe Biden. And I say rigged because they've got fake Tapper, as he calls him, Jake Tapper from CNN and some other chick, I don't know. And both people apparently have been negative about President Trump during his presidency. So the theory is that everything's going to be slanted against Trump. It's going to be 3-on-1. Trump says stuff. It is what it is. That's what they do with it. So I'm going to call it corrupt for what it is. Be sure to watch into that one because the Biden administration still has yet to do anything specifically positive about cryptocurrency while Donald Trump still refers to himself as the president of cryptocurrency. So I think the topic will come up. And it'll be interesting to hear the answers. I suspect if the topic comes up, you're going to hear Joe Biden say something to the effect of, you know, we don't know anything about this here. We want to make sure that there's no illicit something along illicit this and, you know, illegal this. I think that's where he's going to go. Whereas Trump's going to say, well, I'm the president of cryptocurrency. You know, I like this crypto thing. And we're going to pass it. We're going to make it legal and get rid of Gensler. He's going to say something about those lines because he knows he wants to appeal to the younger. There were polls put out where they confirmed that the younger people are leaning towards Donald Trump primarily because of his verbal support for cryptocurrency. I do suspect some of those young people don't understand fully what they're getting into. I'm not saying they shouldn't vote for him. I'm saying they don't really understand what they're getting into because they think that he's doing this out of the goodness of his heart. They got another thing coming. He's doing it because he knows he'll make some freaking money because he's already made millions and millions of dollars off of cryptocurrency he was trading and his garbage NFT. So he's not doing it just because he's a nice guy. You know, that whole thing of, okay, you donate with cryptocurrency to the campaigns. He knows what he's doing. He knows he'll make a mint off that because when it runs up, he'll make even more money than he would have made off the thing. And then when he dumps it, it's going to hurt everybody else. I mean, let's be honest. And then other people don't get nailed for this pump and dump stuff. A brief mention. I'm not going to spend a lot of time for this because it's a bunch of garbage, but a brief mention. There is a Leia, I believe it is. Hale something. She's, you know, a moderately attractive lady, and some people are calling her a scammer. And they were calling her a scammer alongside Ben Armstrong, a.k.a. BitBoy Crypto. I can't say yay or nay about this girl. I'm not going to say that. I will say I'm disturbed by the number of these women in cryptocurrency or somehow connected to cryptocurrency, where almost to a T, they have Instagram, and they're using their Instagram to essentially sell ass while they're shilling cryptocurrency. The reason I'm disturbed by it is because I know there's simps out there, especially on the younger side, who fall for that crap, and then they fall for these scams. The Fong, Tiffany Fong, you know, with FTX, with poof hair. I mean, geez, you look at the photo she's putting out there. She's just putting it all out there. She doesn't, you know. This Leia is even worse. There's no value for her to be on social media other than to show off her body. I got no problem with women showing off their body. Where I have a problem is when you're doing it in concert with shilling of various cryptocurrencies or discussion of cryptocurrencies where it's clear you're out of your element and you're trying to steer people a certain direction or other. That's where I have a problem with it, is where you're selling ass along with a certain steering for cryptocurrency that I feel is unethical. If you want to put your body out there just because you want to put your body out there, I got no problem with that. You know, Paige Van Zandt does it. She set up her thing and she puts her body out there, whatever. Mandy Rose did it. She put her body out there and whatever. Numerous women posed for Playboy, for years, you know. So I have no problem with those kinds of things. I have a problem when you're doing it alongside a shill. Or there's just questionable circumstances as to why you're aligned with certain of these in the crypto space. That's all. And that's a personal thing that I'm noticing an increase of that I hope decreases, but who knows if I will. So-called vol coins, prior known as shit coins, are having a hard time during this current red period. Meme coins all across the board are crashing and burning, including that dog whip hat garbage and, you know, the bonk garbage and all these other ones are going way down after major run-ups. This has been predicted. It's been predicted multiple times by multiple people where people said Bitcoin's going to go first. It's going to get a run-up. It got a run-up. After it gets a run-up, it's going to settle down a little bit. Money's going to flow into those garbage. That happened. Well, after it gets done with the garbage, you know, people are going to sell out. They're not going to hold on to that stuff. They're going to be crazy. So they're going to sell out of those, which is what happened. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I think at the end of the day, diversification is the best thing you can do right now. Diversifying into multiple different asset classes, not just crypto even, I'm talking multiple different things, so that you insulate yourself from the disruption that is likely to happen to some of these other ones. Now, that doesn't mean that you get all the way out unless you're just like, hey, I'm done with this garbage. I'm not advocating that you do or don't. I am saying that for some, it may be a viable strategy to simply watch it and say, you know what, I'm going to put some money in this and see what happens. I'm not going to run away from smoke. I'm not going to let it go. Let's just see how this thing goes. That's a viable strategy. And some people use that in order to make a lot of the rich people, they use that in order to make a lot of their wealth. They'll buy. I had a situation. I'll tell the story. There was a token of absolute garbage token. I forget how I heard about it. I want to say it was CoinDesk. Absolute garbage. And this was years ago, a year and a half ago, I think. And it showed up on a thing. Sure. I tossed $100 at this thing. It gave me billions and billions of tokens and immediately crapped. Okay, no problem. It happens. I forgot about it. And then recently I was on CoinMarketCap. I dial in and I noticed that that particular token was running up for some damn reason. I didn't know why. And I checked the amount that was in my wallet to confirm. And sure enough, it was running up. The one on CoinMarketCap, what apparently happened is this token got listed on Solana. Same logo, same everything, but it was listed on Solana. The one on CoinMarketCap was pointed at the Solana variant. The one I had was on the Ethereum side. And again, I only put $100 in there at 4X'd. So I sold that bad boy, it would have been an 8X, but I didn't catch it because I wasn't paying attention to it. It wasn't visible in the wallet. I didn't pay attention because I figured, okay, it's a loss and I'll write it off. it came back around. When the thing listed on freaking Solana, it came back around, and all of a sudden it made a bunch of money for me. Now, of course, that's it for me. It's a drop in the bucket. But you think about the opportunity I'm describing. All of these that I describe as garbage truly are garbage until they're not garbage. And sometimes you put in something in the anticipation, you know, you roll the dice and someday it may turn out to be something. That's how I felt about a lot of projects. It's just, I didn't expect this one to do what it did, because it made me, that guy just by itself, recouped every bit of loss I had on Everrise. That's how bad this was. So the moral of the story is, I will never advocate that you do or don't get into a given project or that you sell. Certainly, I don't advocate selling at a loss. I will tell you that when you look at the diversification strategy, you look at all these different opportunities to get in and then making sure you only put in what you can afford to lose, and you think smart about it. You never know when something is going to crack that barrier and make you some money. It may not be life-changing money. It may not make you a super wealthy millionaire. I mean, I know, you know, if I had tossed $1,000 at it, which at the time I did that, I wouldn't have had the money to do that. But if I had tossed $1,000 at this business, I mean, yeah, that's $4,000. That would have been, you know, life-changing for certain people. Some people only make $1,000, $2,000 per month. So you think about that, and that may carry rent for a while. I mean, that's huge. So I am never telling somebody to avoid something completely unless I can clearly see it's a blatant scam. Other than that, everything is a gamble. It's a casino. And if, as long as you reconcile that, as long as you're okay with that, and the idea that I'm gambling each and every time I do this stuff, unless it's a main coin. If it's a main coin, it's still a little bit of a risk, but it's nowhere near the gamble, because you know that they're not generally going anywhere. We haven't had main coins completely fail outside of Luna and a couple of others. So it's up to you and what you do. I can't tell you what to do with your money. I am telling you that I think this is an opportunity, a big time opportunity, and we'll see where things go along the way. I want to speak about gaming. I've talked about gaming as, I believe, the next killer app in cryptocurrency, and I don't see that anybody's realizing that. I don't see that anybody's taking advantage of it. I don't see anybody's maximizing it, and that's unfortunate, because I do think gaming is that next killer application with cryptocurrency hand in hand, if it's done correctly. And I was trying to think, are there any, you know, platforms I can specifically target that would be great for this? And I can't help but go back to the card games, you know, the card free-to-play, aka, or if it was TCG, but the card games that are free-to-play, you have some sort of a summon mechanic, you summon, you know, rare cards or super rare cards or ultra rare cards, and there's a gacha mechanic, as in you're, you know, you pay real currency to get some tokens or something, and then you can do a summon, and all of these elements lend themselves very well to the NFT space, and none of these have leveraged that, although I think they should, and I think it would be great. I was playing Danganronpa a while, you know, a couple days ago, S specifically, and I think it's a garbage game, but it's card-based, and I was thinking, this is one of those games that I'm pretty sure could run on a blockchain by itself, and you could really make some money on games like that, where it doesn't need to be crazy fancy, it doesn't need to be a first-person shooter. All it really needs to have is sexy freaking characters and a little bit of humor, and you could turn that into something and make some money, and the blockchain could back it. I'm disappointed in the lack of gaming approach in crypto. I'm disappointed that none of these seem to want to focus on gaming, and I'm not talking crap games. I saw some penguin game. I don't know if that was Lunk. I don't know. I'm talking real games. You know, I'm talking the mainstream games. They're going to get mainstream attention. There's so many games that go on Kickstarter, so many games that go on Indiegogo, so many games that go on Early Access Steam, and none of them seem to understand partnering up with blockchain technology to make a lot of this stuff happen. And I, you know, if anybody's listening at all, CryptoTalk.fm, by the way, if anybody's listening that's in the gaming industry, whether you're in sales or you're a developer or something, I would love to hear why there seems to be this aversion to intersecting mainstream gaming with cryptocurrency, because it feels like it's a natural fit, a natural synergy that doesn't feel like it's getting realized. And I would be curious if anybody has any insight as to reasons why that might be, because I'm frequently frustrated at the lack that I see of attention and energy and desire to go into gaming. Gaming alongside nostalgia, which I'll talk about in a second, are the two killer apps that are underserved. Gaming is underserved not because of a lack of games. We got games up the yin yang, and they're 89% of them are crap. I'm saying games that are adding value, you know, instead of the free to play where all it's doing is draining somebody, games that can actually make you money, I think is it's a missing element. It's something where we should long since have had it. Nostalgia being the other one. Nostalgia is this idea, you know, records, vinyl records, they're making a comeback. Tapes, actual regular cassette tapes are being sold still. Cassette tape decks are being sold still. There's a pushback to flip phones. There's a pushback to nostalgic things. And nostalgia, I think, is going to be a big, huge market. I remember back in the early 2000s, so you figure 2000, 2001, I think, there used to be a real big rush to eBay. eBay's still there. eBay still sells all the stuff, but there was a real big rush for retro consoles. It was just people were looking for the older consoles because the newer ones are crap, frankly, you know? And so eBay was the way to go because everybody's got something to sell that somebody else wants to buy. And it seemed to be the best outlet. Well, think about just the catalog aspect, the transactional aspect, the price management, the, you know, any mediation technologies, any sort of escrow technologies. Think of all the different avenues that could be used to support the push for nostalgia. I actually went through at eBay and I bought a whole set. There were separate ones, but I built the set of all of the old WWF and WWE magazines that feature the divas on the cover. You know, the good ones, since they got rid of physical bags, you know. And, you know, back to when the women were attractive. I bought all those magazines. Again, nostalgia. I bought some Archie comics. And I know that I'm not singular in this regard. I know that nostalgia is big business. Nostalgia itself is simply a reaction to availability. But think about the technology underneath the transactions that drive it. I believe there's billion-dollar business sitting under nostalgia. If somebody had the wherewithal to build a market space, you know, you got Etsy, for example. I'm talking a dedicated market space for nostalgia technology using blockchain technologies. Huge, huge. Think of how you could possibly digitize and truly make the physical asset for baseball cards and other cards where people are looking for those, and then tokenize them via NFTs, but you get the physical asset along with the NFT and there's only the one minted. There's all sorts of opportunities nobody's really tapping into. Instead, there's focus on garbage, which is why I argue many of these things are failing because they're not focused on where the actual money's going. I think the money is going into tangibles. I think the money's going into physicals. I think the money is going into some degree, nostalgic acts. I could have that wrong, but that's how I feel about it. So I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed seeing there's a lack of energy in crypto to appeal outside of that same bubble that we've been in. As a result, the total market cap down to $2.2 trillion, certainly higher than we were last year this time. But it feels like we missed the boat. It feels like we missed an opportunity to really skyrocket this stuff. And perhaps it's a lull, you know, it's a break in the storm. I just feel like there's not more money flowing in that should be, because we're not using this amazing technology for something that could benefit people outside the bubble. Time will tell whether that changes or we don't change or whatever happens. Time will tell. I just look at all this opportunity and wish that somebody would come out. And I know you're saying to yourself, why don't you do it? Trust me, it is something I thought about. The only reason I haven't done it is because I had to get my house situated first, because there's all sorts of stuff I plan to do here in the house. I plan to make my own freaking cologne. There's a lot. I have ambitions. I had to get my stuff set up first. Then it is something I'll look into because I'm truly interested in it. I just wish there were other people that had that same aggression. And I'm asking if somebody listening to the show who has that opportunity, why you haven't gone that route. I'd love to hear that messaging from people out in the gallery.